22 in Revelation. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for leading us thus far through your word. And ask you, Lord, that you would just be with us tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us exactly what we need. And Lord, and speak to us through your spirit, through your word, Lord, this evening. Bless Karen as she makes her way here and just have your way with us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you guys down here? No, we're not doing worship. Sorry. Karen's not here. So. Ay. It's one of those evenings, I guess. I'm here though. If that really matters. Anyway, so we left off at verse 6 and we talked about the river of life and so forth, and just, you know, John gave us a little understanding, I guess, of the interior of the city. Chapter before, he gave us the bird's eye view of the city, and pretty spectacular, of course. And so now it's an exhortation. The last portion of this is just a blend of exhortations to us. Because if you think about it, verse 5 there is really the end of the end of the scriptures, in a sense. I mean, I know the rest is scripture, of course, but, you know, it pretty much gets us from Genesis all the way to this, where it says, and they shall reign forever and ever. It's kind of puts the period at the end of the, it gives us the whole counsel there. Goes on to say in verse 6, he says, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, meaning that they are dependable, they're genuine, and basically this is spot on. These are spot on, these are genuine. And it says, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So these words are sent, and they are delivered by this angel to show what? To that word show there is actually to expose to one's eyes, it's a revelation, right? This is all revelation to us. So to show his servants. It wasn't just John's vision. This wasn't just for John. Of course, I don't know. We probably would all love to see a vision sometime of that the Lord would give us. But usually when he does that, it's not just for that person, right? It would be for others, And of course, the book of Revelation is for all those that want to read it that are going to be blessed. So. Here we are, right? Almost through it. I can't believe that this book seemed to, I don't know, I can't remember when we even started exactly, but it felt at least like it went fast. I don't know. maybe life goes fast, right? But Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So behold, take notice. He says, I am, of course, that's a familiar term, I am coming. Throughout this passage, actually, we'll see Jesus really proclaiming his deity, And so I was reading through this today, and I was thinking, how does the Jehovah Witnesses or any of those guys, not read this and think, I am the first, the last, the Alpha, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? There's only one that can say that, and that is the great I Am. Of course, Jesus says of himself here that he's coming quickly. This is said not to, you know, create chaos in the church about, well, when is he coming, you know, and you get all these people saying, well, he says he's coming quickly here. But really, it's really to get our eyes, and whoever, you know, John needed to have his eyes on Jesus as well as we do. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. When somebody says, I'm going to be there in 10 minutes, you have a tendency of looking out the window. You see them coming. That expectation of them coming is on your mind. Jesus doesn't want us to think, he's outside of time. So when he says quickly, you know, we get a little concerned with, What does shortly mean or quickly, you know? And well, it means just that to the Lord. And whenever that is, we're not exactly sure. But I think even when he speaks of the speed here, shortly, right, of which this will occur, this period of time will be short, or the event will not draw out, right? So when he comes, he's not gonna say, oh, here I come, and a year later he's coming, right? So it's gonna be pretty quicker, you know, in a twinkling of an eye is what the scriptures would tell us. So it says there that I come quickly, and blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The words of the prophecy, you know, of his coming. In the first chapter here of Revelation, if you recall, in verse 3, it would give similar language there. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So again, the time is near. Now he doesn't say hear or read. He just says, who keeps the words of this prophecy. And that, you know, we've heard it, we've read it, we're keeping it, you know, we're keeping it. We've been through the book here. We understand it, hopefully a little better than we did before. And now we're, you know, that's the one thing good about Revelation is that you can't ever read it enough, because it's, you know, you're always going to learn bits and pieces along the way. And then finally, you know, you get to a certain part of your walk, I think it fits together pretty well. And so now it's time to keep, you know, it's time to keep it. And so when we look at that word, keep, it really means attend to carefully. There's something that we need to be careful here, because this whole thing can be, you know, very misconstrued, I guess. You know, there's some that say that this is just, you know, in a sense, fallacy, right? Or allegories, and there's nothing literal about the book of Revelation. And we need to be careful of how we keep it, right? I was thinking about Paul, you know, First Timothy 6:20, where he says to Timothy, he says, oh, Timothy, right? Guard. He's talking to him about guarding the trust. The trust is the Word of God. You know, that's what we've been trusted with. So we need to sometimes, or always, guard the accuracy that we promote through the Scriptures, right? We don't want to take it for granted and spill out something that it isn't. So it's, you know, we need to be careful. Take care. It means to keep means to guard it. You know, it's precious to us, right? We don't want it altered in any way. We want it to be authentic as how we received it. Verse 8, it says, do you want me to go back, honey? No, I'm just teasing you. Now I, Paul, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And that certainly shows that angel understood the hierarchy, didn't he? You know, he wasn't about to take the praise of the Lord from somebody else there. So, you know, John maybe a little misguided here, right? He was going to worship the angel there, that the Lord, the Lord's messenger. It's a good example for us that, you know, we're all messengers of the Lord and ambassadors, and we certainly, you know, he speaks to all of us, and we don't worship each other. We don't worship a man that's preaching to us or whatever, right? We worship God. And so this angel, you know, I think of him, you know, if there's ever such a thing as a guardian angel, maybe this kind of helped bring John on the right path to worship, right? So pretty neat thing there. Verse 10, he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Interesting here, do not seal, leave it open. Meaning there's things that will take place and are not to happen maybe yet, but they're at hand, right? And of course, in Daniel chapter 12, where it talks about the prophecies of the end times, there in verse 4, it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And it would seem as if the time has come, you know, that these revelations would be poured out to God's people, and they're for us to understand and know, you know. And so it's interesting, you know, it's almost as if the Spirit of God told John here to leave this prophecy open in such a way that all would be able to see it. All would be able to understand it. It wasn't closed to certain minds and open to others, you know, that it wasn't sealed. And he says in verse 11 there, he says, who is unjust? Let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, here's the book of the prophecy. The time's drawing near, but don't, you know, I mean, some people are going to be unjust, and you can't change that. You know, they're going to accept the Lord. Others aren't going to, and some are going to lead righteous and holy lives, but others will negate God and want to do away with him in a sense. So when the end of the story comes, you know, it's really the choice of those people. He who is unjust, let him be unjust. That's his call. He wants to be that way, you know. But I would hope that as obviously we come every Wednesday night here to study God's word, we want to be holy. We want to be righteous. We want to be those saints. Maybe not Lyman Christian saints, but saints, right? We don't want to be the ain'ts. We want to be the saints. So, goes on to say, and behold, I am coming quickly. and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. So again, Jesus says here, you know, it's funny as I'm reading through this, it's hard to discern to me sometimes. Okay, yeah, it's black. You know, something we like to color code things, right? Us humans. It's black, but it's Jesus speaking here. You know, I mean, even though it's, you know, some people go, well, those are the red letters. That means Jesus is speaking. Well, yeah, the black letters mean that Jesus is speaking too. So, so often do you go through here and you try to discern because it's color coded, but then you get to the others here, you know, blessed are those who do his, commandments. You know, maybe he's talking about, you know, God the Father or something, you know, there, but, you know, Jesus is emphasizing that here in this scripture. But behold, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his works. And of course, we know this well, that it's not about salvation here. It's about the rewards that the king is going to hand out to each one of us for the deeds that we did, right? Some will be hay and stubble, of course, and others will be fine, precious stones. And so the Lord will reward accordingly when he comes. Because he's the reward giver, right? Then he goes on here in verse 13, and he says, I am, again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's interesting because if, you know, we can go back right to the beginning, right? In the beginning was God. And of course, in Isaiah 40, I think I earmarked it here, 41. Yeah. Let's see, 41, verse 4. The pages are sticking together. Donut man needs to quit bringing so many donuts. Get donuts on my pages here. Yeah, verse 4 says, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? It says, I, the Lord, that's Yahweh, am the first, and with the last I am he. So he proclaims that, you know, if that is about Yahweh, then what Jesus is saying here is he's declaring himself as being God. I am the first. I am the beginning. I am the last. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. Goes on in 14, says, blessed are those who do his command. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? Well, if you do his commandments, those, he's talking about those that are doing his commandments must love him. And if they love him, they're believers. They believe in his resurrection, his death and his resurrection, and they've personalized it, right? They're saved. That they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. So speaking of Jerusalem there, New Jerusalem. So they'll be able to go in, right? They'll be able to participate in that New Jerusalem. It says, but outside are dogs. And when it says outside there, you know, I think the King James says without, or not being able to enter the gate. It shouldn't give us a picture anyways, I don't think anyways, of New Jerusalem, and outside the walls are all the vicious liars and demons and so forth, right? It's just that they can't enter into this new heavens and this new earth that the Lord has created. says, but outside are dogs. Those are those that are unclean or evil, or, you know, sometimes in scripture they would say dogs were sodomites and such. Sorcerers, and that's where we get our word pharmacia from. It's relative, you know, because today, if we think about it, you know, probably not many are really involved in what they would say sorcery, right? They're not doing witchcraft, perhaps, but pharmacia really has to do, you know, that's where we get our word pharmacy from, or you know, so it's relative to maybe psychedelics and so forth, and whatever that drug is that people want to take, you know, they'll be standing outside, you know, outside this wonderful place the Lord has made. And sexual immoral and murderers, you know, idolaters, those that are worshiping other gods, and whoever loves and practices a lie. You know, it's like you get through all these and then you get to the liar. You know, it's almost like, if you think back, it's where we began, in the garden. The liar was there, you know. And here we are again, you know, and Jesus is ending the story in a sense. And he's saying, those who love and practice lies aren't going to be welcome into this city. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the churches. So it's interesting here, because that's really the only place you find that I, Jesus identify him as he speaks, have sent. This is the will of God, that he would send this angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Now, that church there, this is the first time we see church in Revelation outside of the second and third chapter of Revelation. So we don't see that term until, like, right here. And I think one of the reasons is because the church has been lifted out of here. It's not about the church. You know, we see the multitude, we see the 144,000 and so forth, but we don't see the church per se, you know. So is the multitude part Gentile? Sure, you know, so just some Gentiles will get saved, but they're not of the church age, you know. So here he says, I sent this angel to testify to you these things in the church. You know, so these things are important. These things in Revelation are important to the church today. It shouldn't be like us. It shouldn't be, you know, some have made Revelation just a fairy tale, you know, or they can't explain it, so they use all these allegories and so forth. So it's important. It's the end of the story, you know, it's the end of the story. And there's some good stuff here, right? God doesn't just throw his wrath upon the earth and that's the end. There's some great story after all that. All the wrath of God is poured out, and then he makes a new heaven and a new earth. You know, don't you wonder if things are going to be a little different? You know, maybe the animals are going to be different, or maybe, hopefully, we're going to be different. No more pain, no more sorrow, right? Are the trees going to be a little different? The way things are, I would think that they'd be different in a good way, you know. So who knows? We'll see, right? We'll see the rest of it sometime later. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. That's kind of interesting. You know, here's Jesus speaking. I am the root. You know, and what's the root? The root means that I am the creator. I'm the creator of David. I'm his creator. But I'm also, it says, I am also an offspring of David, meaning that he is a descendant of David. What a kind of an interesting thing there. Here we go. We've got the Creator. Yeah, he's going to be an offspring of David. You know, and of course, now we celebrate Jesus coming into the world, a descendant, of course, of David. And it says there, the bright, and morning star. I think it was Satan that described himself as a morning star, didn't he? And so it's important that we read the there, because the bright and morning star. The morning star is like Venus, I guess, you know, the northern star there that shows up right in the morning there, and you go out and you see it. It's bright, and it shows itself, and it's a dawn. It happens at dawn, and it's a dawn of a new day, right? So Jesus is saying here, I am going to bring about a new day here. And so that's pretty exciting that he's going to bring it about. And it says in verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come, and let him who hears come. And I couldn't help but think about that verse in Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And of course, we look at the Word of God and we think of Jesus. We think of Jesus. And it says, let him who hears, of course, by faith, say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So it's all, you know, Spirit in the bride says, come. That's what the church should say. The church should say, come. Right? Let him who hears and puts his faith in Christ say, come. Let him who thirsts, you know, you think of the lady at the well, you know, Jesus offered him living water, her living water. There, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If you desire it, take it. It's such a really simple way the gospel has conveyed eternal life. We just need to take it. And then there's a warning here in verses 18 through 19. It says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. In other words, don't mess with this prophecy. Don't mess with the scriptures. We have a lot of people, messing with scripture today. In commentaries, experiential stuff, throughout the ages, really, but just trying to change scripture a little bit to suit their needs and wants and wills, right? But it does. It applies to this prophecy, but it also applies to the whole scripture. And he says, and he who testifies to these things say, surely I am coming quickly. It's a certainty. I'm coming quickly. When he comes, it's going to be quick. It says, amen. Even so, Bob always says, even so, come Lord Jesus, right? Maranatha. And so, And then, of course, as does Paul and Peter and many of the writers, finishes the ending here. It says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And of course, you know, what a blessing, right, to know that our God's in control. When we look back at our world today and we see the craziness that it's in, some of the mess that's taken place, even in our local politics or state politics or national politics, it can get pretty discouraging, you know. Some of the things that they want to do, and they're probably going to try to silence us in a sense, you know, a lot of ways, but that's okay. God's in control, right? We know the end of the story. We know the end of the book. And, you know, it's interesting that this Bible hasn't changed over the years, you know, since we've had it in our hands. You know, many people have tried to change it, right? We've got different translations, different paraphrases and all those things. Boy, them guys that write them paraphrases, I'm telling you, they better be careful. Because God, I really think we need to be careful of the paraphrases. We need to kind of stay away from them if we can. They're all right to say, hey, you know, this guy thinks this. It's almost like a commentary. But we use them almost as a translation to the scriptures. And then they change some of the meaning behind it. So just a stiff warning there, you know. We need to be careful. We need to regard the scriptures and guard the scriptures. We need to, you know, just do as the Lord has commanded us to do, right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our journey, Lord, through the scriptures tonight and even through the book of Revelation, Lord, and you've met us each week, Lord, and helped us through some of the difficult sessions and some of the tougher chapters, Lord, and you've given us understanding, Lord. Of course, we'll know it all someday, Lord, and that's that you certainly will show us, and we'll probably have them aha moments as we, you know, walk through those gates of New Jerusalem for sure, and see some of the things that John spoke about, and as they come to life for us, Lord, we'll understand them more clearly, of course. And but we thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, Lord, and thank you for being in control, Lord, no matter how big the circumstances seem to us, Lord, and how crazy the world might seem to us, Lord, you are still the one who sits upon the throne. And so we're so thankful for that. And we ask your blessing upon the rest of the evening, Lord, and wherever we're at or whatever we're doing, Lord, we pray, Lord, that would bring the glory to you. Father, we lift up Ed to you, Lord, for his sciatic nerve there that's bothering him, and ask you, Father, to touch and to heal all those, Father. Maria, we think of Maria, Lord. We ask you, Father, to just heal her mind, Lord, and help her, Lord, to look towards you. You know, I think when we go through this here, you know, we through Revelations, Lord, it just there's more and more. As we read through it, Lord, it's evident, Lord, that we just need to keep focused, Lord. Keep focused on you and your goodness, Lord, and give you the glory and the praise, Lord. If we can stay in that mindset, that attitude, Lord, we'll be okay. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to show yourself faithful, Lord, to Maria. And to others, Lord, you know, I think of Magdalena and Ali and their son there, Lord, and just ask for, you know, that he would see your grace, Lord, and your mercy on his life, and help him, Father, to come to know you, for sure, you know, for sure, and just save him, Lord, and give him joy, Lord. you know, joy and peace. And we just praise you. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. And bless your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.